But we do want to acknowledge that even people in the world have a kind of wisdom, and especially about the tongue. The power of the tongue is well known. So I put a proposition with this lesson. Wisdom involves spiritual skill in the use of the tongue according to God's word. So we're talking about biblical wisdom, of course, here. So let's go ahead and last week we talked about, we had these 2 points. Potent words. When you speak, be aware and beware of the power of words. And then powerless words, when it is no use to speak. Those are the 2 areas that we covered last week. So this week, we have quite a few other words. And again, I've given you blanks, but we're not going to read, you're not going to have to read my mind. You will see them on the screen as we go. So the next one is measured words. When less is more. I have a quote from this article that sort of inspired this series. One of the principal differences between a wise man and a fool is that the wise man exercises restraint in use of his use of words, while the fool has a hair trigger lip, is what he said. And I thought that was pretty good. So of course we used it. All right, so here's some verses. Proverbs 10:19, when there are many words, transgression is unavoidable, but he who restrains his lips is wise. Now, Proverbs 15:28, the heart of the righteous ponders how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours out evil things. All right, and he who restrains his words has knowledge, and he who has a cool spirit is a man of understanding. So, restraint in speech is the subject. There's quite a few. I gave you all the verses on your sheet as well as the extra references. So you can see there's quite a bit that talk about this topic. So restrained words. When less is more. I am going to give you 3 comments, about this, and then I'll invite you to add your own about these verses or the things I've said so far on measured words. So first of all, restraint is necessary to hear what others are saying. How many of you, when somebody else is talking, feel the urge to interrupt? Is there anybody like that at all? And I know that's me because I have very wise things to say. But the problem is that if you don't hear the whole thing, and I do think this is a problem in our relationships, is that if you don't hear the whole thing, you may not understand what is being said. You can see this happening in our quizzing. If they ring the bell before the full question is given, they may not know what the answer is. I mean, sometimes they will. But the thing is to wait, restrain yourself until the right time. All right, so then, restraint is necessary to gain control of strong emotions. They can be negative emotions or positive emotions. Strong emotions can overcome you, and you may say an unwise thing if you are not restrained. And you should restrain yourself in that sense. And then, restraint gives the wise time to consider what to say and how to say it. I think on that score, we shouldn't insist, you know, the other person, talk to me, you know, let them think, let them consider. If they're just refusing to answer, that's another thing, but let other people room to think. But measured words, when less is more. All right, any other comments on restraint or on any of these verses here in Proverbs that we've read on this section? Anybody have something they'd like to, Debbie?
Just a question. I wonder what Proverbs 17:27 was in the King James.
Okay, well, I don't have that in front of me, so Gordon, you probably got it on your phone there. Proverbs 17:27. Okay. Takes a bit.
Change back to the King James.
Oh, I see, okay.
He that hath knowledge spareth his words. A man of understanding is an excellent spirit.
Okay, a man of understanding is an excellent spirit. All right, and so there's probably reasons why they've chosen those vocabulary words for translation. Translation is not an exact science. We're basically saying the same thing, however. Okay, so any... Yes, Gordon?
You're mentioning, like, when you're discussing with somebody, like some people have the urge to interrupt.
Yes.
What I have found myself fighting is I'm thinking about my response before they're finished.
Yes, yes.
And that's just as bad.
Like, that's right.
You're not listening.
That's a good point. He says, one of the reasons we want to interrupt is, did I interrupt you just now?
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
Is that we're
thinking about our response before the other person is done talking. Now, sometimes people tend to, how shall we put it? We tend to repeat ourselves. We tend to wander. And, you know, if you've got the floor, you may forget that one point you wanted to address, right? So I think that's one of the reasons why we interrupt. Because we want to get that point, right? So it's really hard. We have to let people talk. If it's not, it may be important. If it's important enough, we should remember it. Though the older I get, I find I have trouble remembering a lot of things. All right, so... But that is one of the reasons people interrupt. All right, so any other comments on that? Anything else? Okay, we ready to move on to the next? Okay, so, now, come on now. I'm learning how to use this new little gizmo. $10 gizmo, I really like it. All right, started on Wednesday night. So far, so good. Okay, so verboten words, I think that's a German word, right, Wolf? Okay, it means forbidden, right? Okay, good. And not missing use it. Verboten words, when you must not speak. All right, so let's look at what we've got here. We've got several proverbs. He who goes about as a talebearer reveals secrets, but he who is trustworthy conceals the matter. So this is not somebody who's a talebearer, not in the sense of telling lies, but in the sense of telling confidential matters. All right, then the second one, he who curses his father or his mother, his lamp will go out in time of darkness. All right, so that's quite obvious what that means. It is a trap for a man to say rashly, it is holy, and after the vows to make inquiry. Now, I think that's has to do with the religion of the Jews. And to say rashly, it is holy, I think that's related to the kind of thing that... when Jesus talks about to the Pharisees about calling something korban or dedicated, it is holy, in other words. So therefore, it's not to be given, but then he goes, and after he's made the vow, he is contradicting himself. All right, so there's other references there. Okay, so I have a list of 10 things that are words that you must not speak. I think maybe I'll let you tell me, what are some things you must not speak? All right. Anybody just put some things out there, Wolf?
Blasphemy.
Okay. We must not speak blasphemy. That's right. Anything else? Kerry.
About Trudeau.
Oh, sometimes we should not. That's more under should not speak. Okay. Okay. All right. Must not speak. Anything else? Marlena.
Lies.
Okay. Must not speak lies. All right. Anything else?
Slander.
Okay. That is a special kind of lie. All right, anything else that you, well, it's not necessarily a lie. Slander isn't necessarily a lie, is it? That's right. All right, so is anything else you'd like to put under verboten words?
Swearing,
okay, there you go, all right. And that's akin to blasphemy, but it's not always blasphemy, is it? It's just coarse. There's coarse, what does Paul call it? Is it filthy jesting, which is not convenient? Am I remembering that right? Okay, there in Ephesians.
Bearing false witness,
that's right. Okay, anything else? Okay, Lee.
I don't know if this fits into the category, but like minced oaths, you know?
Minced oaths? Well, that would be under swearing. Okay, anything else? Oh, Christy, your hand is disguised by Christian's head.
Gossip,
okay, yes, okay. Anything else? Calling someone a fool, yes, the Lord Jesus made that clear. All right, let me give you my list of 10. Some of them you've already said, a breach of confidence. So that's that first one, in that first proverb. A hasty commitments or vows made without thinking. Sometimes people ask you to do something. Oh, sure, I'll do it. But then you realize you can't do it. And now what? You're in a jam. You're going to keep your word or you're going to be a welcher. Okay? Contention and strife. Okay? Some words there you must not speak. Attempting to correct or instruct a fool. Now that is mentioned in some of the other Proverbs. I didn't put that one on there. It's probably in that list. But attempting to correct or instruct a fool. Cursing of one's parents. We have that here. False testimony. Somebody mentioned. Flattery. Okay? It's like gossip. Gossip and slander are the next one. But flattery is not slander, but it's telling somebody or building somebody up to get to manipulate them, to get something out of them. So it's a kind of falsehood. Lying and deception, somebody mentioned that. And self-acclaim or boasting, right? We must not speak this. All right. Anything else you'd like to say about words you must not speak? Okay. All right, well, that gives me that little pause gave me a sip of coffee, so let's move on to golden words, when you must speak. So I actually have this as a long section. There's a proverb for each one, so we're just going to go through these step by step. Okay, so when our words are given in serious submission to God's will. So here's the proverb. The plans of the heart belong to man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All right? And so this involves, first of all, a heart that practices personal meditation on God's word so that it knows God's will. Secondly, this involves a dependence on God's guidance as to when to speak. And thirdly, this involves a readiness to speak up for God as soon as it is appropriate, with no fear of man, but fully ready to give God's answer to life's problems. All right, so when our words are given in serious submission to God's will, any comments on that one, or I'll move on to the next one. Anybody want something that stirred up a thought in their mind? Okay, let's move to the next one. When our words are words of wisdom and knowledge, and so here's the proverb, the lips of the wise spread knowledge, but the hearts of the fools are not so. And there's also another reference there. All right, so the lips of the wise spread knowledge, but the hearts of the fools are not so. Spreading wisdom and knowledge. I don't have any extra comments on that one. Is there anybody else who want to say something on any time on these? I'll give a chance for you to respond. Okay, the next one. Oops. When we are giving out the life-changing words of the gospel. So this proverb, the teaching of the wise is a fountain of life, to turn aside from the snares of death, with a couple of other references there as well. I think that one is pretty obvious. These are words we must speak. So giving out the life-changing words of the gospel. All right. Then, next one. Come on. When we are rebuking or correcting a wise man. You get that? There's the proverb. Like an earring of gold and an ornament of silver. Ornament of fine gold, is a wise reprover to a listening ear. And there's a couple other proverbs that go with that. But why would we say that this is a word you must speak when we are rebuking or correcting a wise man? Christy, go ahead. Well, they need correction, but why is it especially important when it's a wise man?
They will hear it.
They will hear it. That's right. Because Proverbs teaches us, don't with a fool, you know, don't answer a fool according to his folly, right? Now, of course, there is the other option of answering the fool according to his folly. So, this is wisdom. We're not talking about absolutes in Proverbs. We want to always remember this. But one of the things that he mentions here is that the wise person will hear a rebuke. So, we should be willing to speak when a wise person needs to be rebuked. All right. When we speak up for the afflicted, and so we have a couple of verses here. Open your mouth for the mute, for the rights of all the unfortunate. Open your mouth, judge righteously, and defend the rights of the afflicted and needy. So I think this one is pretty obvious what it means when we speak up for the afflicted. Any comments on that? Anybody want to say something there? Christy?
I always wonder if that is like speaking to the Christians necessity for speaking up against like abortion or something like that.
Well, okay, so like speaking up against abortion. I think that it is fine to speak up against abortion, and I think this would be, this is wisdom. But we also need wisdom as to know when and how to speak as well. So I would say yes, with the qualification, when and how, right? I think sometimes there are, we can debate as to which type of speech is the most effective in an example like that. Rob, do you want to add something?
Well, I was wondering in the context of the verse before it, it's sort of like defending the people who can't defend themselves. I guess abortion would be one, but
certainly, yeah.
It's sort of like the, say there's some person that, you know, whatever, deaf and mute, and they are being charged with a crime. Well, you could step in and help out or something. That's a bad example, but like helping the downcast and speaking for those who can't speak for themselves.
Yeah. Well, I think it's a much wider application than that one specific example. I would say that abortion would certainly fit in the category. But the question is, that some of the things people have done and said in their efforts to, in this area, I sometimes wonder how effective it has been. Okay, now, we're not just saying, oh, only speak if it's effective, because sometimes just making people aware is needed, right? So but it is wisdom. All right, so.
When you're talking about abortion, I think, it's important to know, like, afflicted, you think most people think of the child, but the mother is fooled, right?
Yes.
She's afflicted, she's a victim in a way.
Yes.
Sometimes they're quite aggressive, but they're victims too.
Yeah, that's right. So there are a lot of ways we can speak in this area. All right, and there's other applications. I don't want to limit it to just that, but I certainly think that is one of the areas that we could touch on. And what we're saying is this is a wise thing to do. We're not saying that this is a mandate that you must do, right? Remember, we're talking about words of wisdom here. Okay? All right, and then is this the last one in this? Yes. When we open our mouth to heal the afflicted, to edify, to build up. Okay, so the proverb is, there is one who speaks rashly, like the thrust of a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. All right, and there's a couple other proverbs as well. Okay, so words that will heal people. I guess that certainly is a wise thing to say. Golden words when you must speak. Okay, so any comments generally on this category? I think that some of this is fairly obvious. I'm watching my clock and hoping you'll say something. Debbie?
Back on the other page, that Proverbs 20:20. Where it says, he who curses his father or his mother, his lamp will go out in time of darkness. And
yes.
Said, that's obvious, and I thought, obvious to me. What's the second part mean? His lamp will go out in time of darkness.
Well.
I mean, even generally, what does that mean?
Even generally. Yeah. Okay, so I would say that the verse is a, in terms of wisdom, it is a warning. How would it be a warning? Well, if he has estranged himself from his parents, okay, and then when he's in trouble, who's going to help him? Okay, that would be the way I would take it at first without looking in detail. All right, Christy?
The children obey your parents in the Lord, but this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with promise that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. So it's
right.
Kind of like the opposite of that.
It's kind of the opposite of that. You're right, yeah. Okay. All right. Any other comments or questions as we've gone through? Okay, so we have one more category. So we are way, way early. We have to talk a lot on this point. Okay, refined words, when a fit word is fitly spoken. Okay, a man has joy in an apt answer, and how delightful is a timely word. Okay, and let me get to the right page here in my notes. Okay, and like apples of gold in settings of silver is a word spoken in right circumstances. Proverbs 25:11, very famous verse. And then 15:1, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but harsh words stir up anger, with all these extra references. Okay. So, the speaker has the wisdom to know what to say and when to say it, which results in the hearer receiving the exact message that was intended. Now, so, an apt answer, a timely word, a word spoken in right circumstances, a gentle answer. Okay, so what do these phrases describe about the way we talk?
Considering the well-being of the person you're talking to.
Okay, consider the well-being of the person you're talking to. All right. Rob?
Well, if you're going to influence somebody, it's better to talk to them nicely than harshly.
Most of the time.
I guess in certain circumstances. Yeah. But sort of like that last verse is sort of like, you know, a reasoning spirit rather than a condemnation spirit.
Right.
Suggest, maybe?
Yeah. Generally speaking, the aggressive, harsh speech is going to only create defensiveness.
Yeah, you get your back up.
That's right. People get their back up. All right. And, I mean, there are times we have the Apostle Paul in the Corinthian epistles. There are some pretty strong words in there. So there are times when a strong word is the apt answer, right? But the but you have to carefully consider how you say things. I've noticed that people tend to have a pattern of saying things, and maybe they're wanting to get a point across, and they'll say things a certain way. But all that the way that they say it, what they say may be true. The way that they say it only creates defensiveness on the hearer, and nobody's hearing. You're not making your point. It's like the preacher who has in his outline the little scribbled note, weak point, yell louder. Okay? So he doesn't change his words. He just, you know, becomes more assertive. So we need to think through. If it's a weak point, we should... Now, I'm sure in my own messages there are weak points. They seemed logical when I wrote them down. Okay, but rather than, you know, I mean, that's sort of a joke, but it's, if that were actually true of somebody, they have the discernment to know that their point is not really strong, but they should eliminate it or develop a better way of saying it so that it is a strong point. Right? That's, if you're aware that you're, of your words, you will learn how to say things in a way that hopefully is most effective. Okay? And that is what we want in our communication. Alright, any other comments on this? Lola?
Yeah, I wanted to add, using the right words, given the right circumstance. And I have Colossians 4:6, which says, let your words be seasoned with salt,
yes,
so that you may know how to answer each one.
Amen. That's a good passage. What verse is that again? Colossians?
Colossians 4:6.
4:6. All right. So that's another one you could add. You might jot that down in your notes if you're taking notes. But a answer seasoned with salt so that you may know how to answer them. All right, so I'm just paraphrasing there, but that is right in line with this whole discussion. Anything else that you'd like to mention on this, Rob?
I know you're trying to use up time.
I am.
I know in my Christian walk that if I'm dealing with somebody in retail, say, or something, I have had an experience recently in this, where I'm, even though maybe something's not going right, I have to remind myself. Something like, suppose that person were to walk into our church today and see me.
Yeah.
And we just had a disagreement about something.
Yeah.
So I'm not perfect at this, but I always try and remember right. that I'm representing
right.
Christ. You know?
Amen.
And,
okay, that's a good point.
You don't want to turn somebody off just because your nose is out of joint.
Yeah, that's right. Yes, and isn't that a place where, well, as I, you know, as a former salesman, I mean, it really irritates me when you got somebody who's trying to hustle you.
Yeah.
And they're not, you know, like sales. My dad taught me that sales is you're trying to offer a benefit to the person, and you're trying to sell that benefit, not manipulate, but persuade that this is the best way to solve their problem, and if it is the best way. And so there is an art to learning how to speak, and some salespeople haven't learned that art, that's for sure. So, but as could be a salesperson, it could be a teller at a bank, could be a government, often is a government official, let's put it that way. You know, they're telling you what you must do. And we do need to keep in mind that our mission is the gospel and not winning arguments at the bank or wherever. All right, Christy?
I kind of apply that principle too, because I try and give out gospel tracts wherever I go. So if I'm embarrassed to give a tract because of my behavior, then I know that I don't.
Yeah, that's a good point. So she says, if I give out a tract, but I'm embarrassed to give it out because I've been rude or whatever, she didn't say that word, but whatever, any kind of bad behavior I may have exhibited, then I know I'm wrong. All right, that's a good point. Anybody else have something on that?
Linda. Not on that. Something we previously talked about.
Okay.
With regard to parents and giving that respect
Yes.
toward them, but in some instances, people have families that are divided, and you can't have a good relationship
mm-hmm.
with a parent.
Yes.
But God provides.
Yes.
And it may be that you don't have a good relationship with either parent, and you
right.
can't, you have to separate from them.
Yes.
But God provides because He is our Father.
Yes. Yes. Yes, that's right. There are circumstances in life where you cannot have a good relationship. But even in those circumstances, we can learn how to speak, right? I don't imagine there's a family in here who doesn't have some relationship like that,
mm-hmm.
right? Probably. So it may not be your directly your immediate family, but somewhere in there are people that have, you know, the world is full of sin, and there's people that have gotten themselves into really difficult situations that are hard to speak to, right? Okay. All right. So we have 15 minutes to go. And this is where last week I thought, see, the previous time when I did this, actually what happened is I didn't finish the lesson of the first half. Somehow I must have been waxing eloquent, and so it spilled over into this one. So this one, I cut that out, and now it was shorter. So that's where we're at. So these are, what is it? There's one there about restraining your words. So we're restraining our words by 15 minutes today. Okay. But any final comments or anything you'd like to say about Proverbs? I am planning to continue with Proverbs through probably into January, but I am wanting to move on to something else afterwards. I am debating what I have. Part of the thing is I'm reading several books trying to prepare for some things, but I'm not far enough along to do what I was originally intending to do. So, Debbie?
I've been thinking about something while we're talking about all this with words and how our words should be just right and measured and appropriate and
yeah,
whole nine yards. But I think it's true, isn't it, that our words can be wise and appropriate and measured and well chosen and in the sight of God, if you will, perfect. But they may not be received by
right.
the hearer.
Right.
So we always have to remember to not judge, I guess, the rightness of our words or the wisdom of our words based on whether or not they accomplish what we
right.
are trying to accomplish. Is
right.
that correct?
Yeah, I think so. Okay, so there's verses that talk about, like I said, not answering the fool. And there are times when we have exactly the right words, but the other person will not receive them for whatever reason. You know, and so at a certain point, I suppose you have to restrain yourself from that, but then other points, sometimes it needs to be said anyway. All right, Daryl.
Yeah, because our word would be a good example of somebody. What did he ever say wrong?
Right, yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. The Lord never said anything wrong. And often his words were... But there are times when you have to speak, right? You have to speak whether they're going to be heard or not. You have to get it on the record. So, we're talking about wisdom here. These are not absolutes. We're not saying that, you know, since fools aren't going to listen, never talk to them. Okay? That's not... I don't think that's what Proverbs is saying. But it's Proverbs is saying that there are times when it's just not worth the hassle. That's not a Bible word. But it's, you know, to try to talk to somebody, they're not going to listen. It's not worth the energy to get into it with them. Wait for an opportune time. Sometimes that's wiser than just speaking. So that's what we were talking about. What we're looking for is wisdom in our speech, not perfection. And the book of Proverbs isn't giving us a code, because you'll see some of those that, the one famous verse, we've talked about this before, do not answer a fool according to his folly, but then the next verse says, answer a fool according to his folly. Okay, so that's wisdom, is to knowing which one applies, right? And so that's really what we're after. All right, Rob.
Well, and I think sometimes we can get ourselves in trouble. I mean, you alluded to it before about sort of assumptions.
Yes.
And so this situation this past week where I had this person that turned out after discussing this with them, the person was just socially inept.
Right.
I thought he was being very dismissive of me and wasn't listening to my needs. It was a retail situation.
Yep.
And after talking to him more, I realized, like, he may have even been on the spectrum, but I didn't identify that. You know, honestly, no offense to him, I didn't identify that at first. He just had a very, his wording was not good.
Right, know? Right.
And so when we talked about it, he says, oh no, I'm sorry, I didn't mean it that way. And I was sort of very surprised.
Right.
So,
right.
Because it sure came across that way.
Yeah.
So all that to say, we've got to be careful how we react.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Be wrong.
Yes. Restraining our spirit is a big part of this communication bit, because our spirit is not very. It can just overpower you.
Yeah.
If
you think you've been wrong, like I thought with this guy.
Yeah.
You know, I was quite. You know.
Yeah. Yeah, we're getting your backup. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was glad I talked. Also, I was glad I furthered the conversation with them.
Yeah.
Got it worked out.
Right. Right. That's part of wisdom. Okay. All right. So, Marilyn and Marlene, both my M's. Okay, go ahead.
What sort of things should you look for in a person when you hear you should not speak to them about the Lord or whatever?
Oh, boy. Well, okay, so the question is, what should I look for when I should not speak to somebody about the Lord? Well, it may be just a sensitivity to the circumstances. So,
Are they inebriated?
That's probably a good time, yeah, to just sort of wait. Okay, but that's just one circumstance. But yes, what I'm saying is, here, there wisdom. We need to watch. Like certain circumstances, maybe there's certain times when somebody is, they're not even in a place where they're ready to hear anything about the gospel. So then what we need to do is try to build a relationship so that you can get the opportunity later. I was just thinking, I recall years and years ago, I was in high school, and there was where we were in Drayton Valley, there was a, we lived on the North Saskatchewan River. Our town was on the North Saskatchewan River. And my brother and his friends were down by the river on one day, and there were some guys coming down, I don't know if it was canoes or kayaks, but anyway, there was an accident. One of the men drowned. Okay. And my brother told me, now this is a vague memory, so I'm not trying to slander him. Okay. He told me that he said, one of the guys made some comment to him, and he said, well, you need to be prepared to meet the Lord, or something like that, right? Now, that's an appropriate comment, right? But the fellow just reacted, wouldn't even hear. Now, was it an appropriate time? I kind of think it was. But you also have to say, okay, I'm not going to press it. If he's giving me signs, he's not going to hear. I'm not going to press it. And that's where, like, attract. Say, look, would you take this then? Let me just give you this. Although I have had people refuse tracts. Okay. Right, Christy?
Well, something like
like that, we don't know if that haunted him until
that's right.
It changed him.
That's right. There's another story I can tell you on that, but yeah, you're right. Okay, so Marlene, I don't want to dismiss you. You had a...
Well, yeah. No, it's just that I don't understand what this... When we open our mouth, they heal the afflicted.
Yes.
So I can't understand the word heal there.
Okay, what does it mean to heal? So it's a word when you are there to give comfort, to help somebody who's in pain, whether it's psychological or whatever, then that's a word of healing. Okay, so that's what we're talking about. All right. Okay, so we've got ourselves down to just 5 minutes left. So let's pray and we'll finish. Our Father, we thank you for this time. We pray that you would bless our studies, help us to use wisdom in our speech, help us to think about the circumstances that we're in, and to always try to seek to speak grace to one another. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.